1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. I'm Ross Mitchell, and this evening I'm going to be giving the phone numbers in a made-up foreign language. Here goes. East of the Rockies. West of the Rockies. For our friends listening in Taiwan. For our Native American friends. People in Mexico.
Just
in for me.
And now, here's Art Bell.
Thank you, Ross Mitchell, and a very pleasant good morning to all of you listening here on Earth or in other celestial heavenly bodies. And we are going to, this evening, answer a question, but more like solve a riddle. And the riddle has perplexed scientists and has shaken spiritualists in recent times. We are going to find out why it is Dan Rather still has a job. But first, ladies and gentlemen, this is from Peenemann Enterprises, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Seranium 6000 ice cream maker. You know, for a long time, I've been talking about the Seranium 6000 ice cream maker, but the way things are looking out there with the ups and downs, of course, at the stock market with continued unrest internationally, now the very real threat of terror here at home, isn't it a good time you finally invest in the Seranium 6000 ice cream maker? Now deliciously creamy and smooth ice cream at the press of a button, completely solar-powered, a replaceable hydrogen cell, and made from the very same material that airlines use to manufacture black boxes for in-flight data recording. That's right. That's right. Don't act stunned. That's right. Your Seranium 6000 ice cream maker is practically indestructible. So while you slowly waste away from the effects of a radiological bomb, you can cold, delicious ice cream will be in your hands, all over your face, because your hands probably won't be able to move, so it'll be in your lap and all over you. Anytime you want it, day or night, it's new from Peenemann Enterprises. General Johnson Jameson joins us. General Jameson, this has been a momentous, momentous day, I know, for you, because you've been working in your laboratory there beneath the Saskatchewan crust, working on this riddle. How is it that Dan Rather still has a job? And, of course, I dealt with this in my book, The Quickening, which...
You know, Art, that book was just marvelous. You really put your finger on it.
I just felt that something was going to happen, something big.
Well, let me tell you, something big happened, all right. And I've got the photographic evidence to prove it. Because, Art, this evening on your program, I'm very proud to say, we have the answer to the question that has puzzled scientists for years. How does Dan Rather still have a job? The Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, and Dan Rather. Put them all into the same kettle of fish.
It's just weird.
It's weird. Really weird how a guy who is dull to look at, boring to listen to, isn't very interesting, never comes up with new and original stories, and is now getting his news from the same sources Matt Drudge does. How does this guy maintain a job? And so I had Bobby, who is my assistant. Bobby, could you load in slide 4? Okay, Bobby's loading it in. Jesus.
Is it the NyQuil?
Yeah, he got into the NyQuil. All right, slide 4. Now, Art...
And by the way, let me say, General Jameson, this is on our website, www.... Wait a minute, your laboratory just went away.
Let me start it up again. Ah, there it goes, yes. Sometimes it stops, and I have to be on switch.
I see. Is it just a lot of laboratory sounds?
That's correct, yes. And, of course, there's nothing going on here at all. It's just a lot of... I put dry ice in the bottom of glasses and make the smoke come. You know, a bunch of bull crap like that. In any event, Art, I do have the photographs here, and I can show you with great clarity... exactly what we are talking about.
Now, I understand you're using this with a Spectrogram 5400 camera.
That's correct. With a shutter speed of 1200, you can pick up isotopic as well as molecular imaging. Now, here are a series of them.
And what are you seeing? And I'm looking on my website. I seem to see two figures, and there are two figures. One of them is bending over a sawhorse.
That is correct, yes. Now, again, the website you were referring to, by the way, is www.loveisamanysplendoredthing.com.
All right, www.loveisamanysplendoredthing.com. And, all right, so one of the figures is bending over a sawhorse.
Yes, and they seem to be standing in a garage, a parking garage. Yes, and they're right there. There's a figure standing behind the one that's bending over. Now, if you enhance the image to the power of six, Bobby, hit six, switch to sector three. Just hit the switch. All right, do you see that?
Yes, I can now. And by the way, go to our website. You can all see this. We are trying to answer the question here, why does Dan Rather still have a job? Now, we're looking at a picture here. One image is bending over a sawhorse. The other one is standing behind. And
what you see there, the one bending over the sawhorse, I got it. Yep, he's wearing a Goldilocks wig. There's no doubt.
All right, and the one standing behind him
is in a Napoleon Bonaparte costume with his pants down. Shut up and load in image four. Now, there it is. All right, switch up to Spectre 3. This could be it, Art. Yep, the one in the Goldilocks wig is Dan Rather. The one behind him in the Napoleon costume is Les Moonves, the president of CBS. So I think we can conclude that Mr. Rather has held on to his job by degrading himself sexually for one of the Viacom board members. All right!
Well, there you go. And by wearing the Goldilocks wig...
Yes, by wearing the Goldilocks wig, he has... forget about the Goldilocks wig. It's bending over a sawhorse. So I think that... What do you think, Bobby? All right. Go get some yogurt. Good job, huh? So, that's the answer to the question. That's it. Let me just turn off my laboratory. There it goes.
Well, very good, General Jameson. So, Dan Rather held on to his job by sexually degrading himself with less movies. Thank you, and good night.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Not much of a lockout, is it?
Just goodbye. General, I can hear you putting the phone down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, let me hang it up. Hold on.
Coast to Coast with Art Bell. We'll be right back.
You made this way. I can't survive. I can't stay alive.
Here's Art Bell with Coast to Coast and the solving the problem. How does Dan Rather still hold on to his job? 1-800-449-8686. Good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Tonight we're going to have Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report. We're also going to have, just a bundle of things, which includes libertarian talk radio host Roy Ott will make his debut on our show tonight. We also have self-help with Dr. Bronski. Let's take a phone call and let's go over here to Jerry. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing real good, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Phil, I enjoy your Art Bell piece. But I made a point to your screener that the sexual humiliation punchline, I think, was a little too predictable.
On the bit we just did?
Yeah. See, I listened to it with my girlfriend. I said, and I told her, and I don't mean to criticize you. But
No. It's fair. So the bit we just did with Art Bell, the sexual humiliation.
I thought it was a little predictable because I had said to her, I bet you Phil's going to say that Dan kept his job by being sexually humiliated, and I just think it's too easy a place for you to go. I think you're better than that, you know.
Well, I guess it's fair criticism.
I don't mean to criticize you, because I listen to your program all the time, but I knew, I said, okay, now I know what you're going to say. He's going to sexually... Most of the time, a lot of your material, you sexually humiliate people.
Okay, and...
But, I wouldn't call your show. I used to do some comedy writing myself.
You did where?
Well, I wrote for a couple of years for Jon Stewart.
You did?
Yeah, and also wrote on Everybody Loves Raymond. And
so you're not writing for those shows anymore?
No, I can't. I couldn't stand on shows. They're too lame. They're just too stupid.
I think what you're saying is a legitimate critique, and I appreciate that. I don't know. I just thought it was...
for instance, you could have... The reason why Dan Rather still has a job, you know, is there's no one else who would take the job. You know, like the place is overrun with vermin or lice or something. That would be funny.
So you could say that Dan Rather held on to his job because no other anchor wants to work there because CBS is overrun with lice?
Yeah, like there's vermin or lice or something, you know. But to say he's been over a sawhorse... You know,
I know, it's a predictable place. Jerry, thank you for the critique.
Well, like I say, we listen to your program all the time.
And you wrote for Everybody Loves Raymond?
I wrote for Everybody Loves Raymond. My name's Jerry Liddell. You've known me, and everybody out in Hollywood knows me. I got so sick of it, though, because the show was not funny. And I also wrote for Jon Stewart, and I don't think he's funny either. You know.
Well, who do you think's funny?
I think you're funny. I think you're funny if you try and stay away from the predictable punchline of sexual humiliation. That's all is what I'm saying. I think.
Well, you're saying that Dan Rather would be funnier if I said Dan Rather held on to his job because no one wants to work at CBS because they have lice?
Yeah, you know, like lice or vermin or rats or, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's just my ideas, is all, you know. I wrote for about 2 months for Craig Kilborn. I hated him, too.
Did you ever write for a show you thought was funny?
Well, yeah, I wrote for Designing Women. I thought it was very good. Very good actresses and everything. But anyway, that's all I want to say. I love everything you do, and please keep it up.
All right, Jerry, thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you have to put a call on like that right after? Hey, Phil, let me just tell you how the bit went wrong. I used to write for Designing Women. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight we have Rastafarian Radio with Terry McCoy, as well as our self-help with Dr. Bronski and the Libertarian Radio segment. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos and Dr. Jack Briscoe and Sheila Skelly will be with us. And Thursday night, Bobby Dooley and Michael Moore's America. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight, it's, of course, our very, very dear, sweet friend Margaret Gray with Campaign 2004 Report. How's it going on the campaign trail, baby? And later on, we will also have a visit from a brand new libertarian radio host. You know, libertarians are interesting because they're not Democrat. They're not conservative. They're something else. Ray Ott, and Ray will be with us, and he's going to tell us how he's real different, and he's real special, and whatever, man. And also, we will have a visit from Dr. Bronski with our self-help segment. Now, the big question that's on the lips of everybody in broadcasting today, so that's all coming up on the show, but the big question really that's on the lips of everybody in broadcasting today is how much salary is CBS going to save by firing the person they do fire? Will it be $30,000 a year? $40,000 a year or $43,000 a year? Take your guess and join us here on Who Gets Canned, because I guarantee you it's going to be like a 40 grand a year PA, like a production assistant, some gopher, some underling producer. They're going to put them on a spit, turn them very delicately, season, and then serve with a garnish. You don't really think the man's going to go, do you? Now, why are we making a big deal out of this? Why should we make a big deal out of it? What difference does it make? Who cares if Senator Kerry's campaign leaked forged documents to CBS and through the complicity of CBS got them on the air as actual real documents and a real testament to President Bush's National Guard Service? Who cares if this cat, Senator Kerry, is a guy who's running for President of the United States? It doesn't matter. The real issue is whether President Bush has screwed the whole thing up six ways to sunset, and if we're all going to heaven in a pea-green boat, man. Bush has got us on the way to World War III. That's the message today from Senator Kerry. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Phil Hendry, a Democrat. That's right, another Democrat for Bush. Hate to say those things. Boy, I keep going back to those days. Man, I'll never forget. I know I keep bringing this up because it was one of those perfect moments when I was back at the Aspen Comedy Festival, and they had me sitting there in front of that hall full of like 500 imbeciles from the, citizens of Aspen. You know what? These people couldn't be citizens of Aspen. They must have been a whole bunch of people that had flown up in their private jets. And I said the following things. Dean is dead. Boo! I said, Senator Kerry's comments in front of the Senate saying that his fellow soldiers were rapists and murderers will come back to haunt him. Boo! I said, gun ownership is in the Constitution. What's wrong with that? Boo! I said, your mama, boo. I said, your sister too, boo. And then I said, your mom, boo. And it all's coming true, man, especially the your mom part.
Now,
it doesn't make any difference. Here's one of the things that Senator Kerry's doing today, which I think is smart, actually. I thought it would be smarter if he went down the economic road and drove home the, you know, like the stuff he wants to have done. But he doesn't know what he wants to have done. He didn't really say. And so today he said, well, here's what Bush is doing wrong. Because if the guy laid out what he wanted to do, there isn't anything there. I mean, he's got no plan. He still says that he was right about voting for us going to Iraq, but if he was the commander-in-chief, he wouldn't have done it, even though he was right about not funding it, but he does support our troops. Now, I think he's made himself pretty clear, so the next thing you need to do is say how Bush is a jackass, which is basically what he's doing. And to that end, of course, you enlist the aid of some guy who lives in Texas, who's going in his mother's cellar, and is coming up with all kinds of goofy documents. I mean, this guy, this is the most beautiful forgery since the 20-second lapse in the White House Watergate tapes, right? What happened? Oh, I hit the record button for 20 minutes? Anyway, it's no big thing because Rather's going to hold on to his gig. You can't fire Dan Rather. I remember when Dan Rather took over for Walter Cronkite. You talk about going from really interesting and compelling evening news to looking at, like you're looking at some dude who's telling you to put your cigarette out. You flip on the news with Dan Rather, and it's like the guy that stands there saying, you want to take your feet off of the chair in front of you, sir? Thank you very much. You're disturbing. Yeah, it's just the dude that comes in and puts everybody on a downer. He's the guy that, you know, Dan Rather's got the face of a dean of discipline and a head coach, if ever I saw, you know, the head coach who you didn't win a game, but he's all about, Henry, you're going to come in here on Monday morning with a jack strap in your haircut. Now, how do you feel about that? Hey, coach, why don't you kiss it right here? All right, give me 100 laps. I want you doing a mile under 4 minutes. I want you to break the mile. Hey, coach, I think you need to, like, go to a psychiatrist. That doesn't, you're off the team. Jesus. Rather took over the CBS News, and I remember the first thing he tried, because Cronkite locked it out really classy. Cronkite would always lock it out with this phrase, and that's the way it is. And he'd give the date. Like, say today is September what's the date today? The 18th? The what?
21st.
And Cronkite was, and that's the way it is, September 21st, 2004. This is Walter Cronkite. Good evening. It's really kind of a cool little lockout saying, that's the world you live in, right? Here's how Rather tried to one-up that. I'm Dan Rather. Courage. Courage. In other words, what you just laid on me is so horrific that I got to go and get an extra roll of Bounty towels, shove them down into my shorts, and walk out into the world with a big grin on my face. Thank you, Dan. And for 20 years, he's been bumming this country out with that kisser of his. Right? Now, that ain't bad enough, because you can watch it. You don't have to watch it. I haven't watched the CBS News in years, man. I mean, I ain't seen his face. I mean, every time I flip on 60 Minutes, he looks older and grimmer. Dan Rather looks like it's just something got wedged and it's just inoperable. You can't pull it out of there for love or money. But now the guy is, under the guise of being Mr. Watergate, Mr. Hard-Hitting Reporter, Mr. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, rip the lid off of it, this guy's got all the news credibility of fat-ass Moore. He comes up with some documents that some kid scribbled with crayon, got faxed to him from Kinko's. He's got all the credibility of, hi, I'm Michael Moore, and Iraq was just a sweet, loving place filled with children prancing and giggling before we came in and made the whole thing a living hell on earth, right? And there's Rather talking about how Bush got all this preferential treatment. It turns out this stuff was written by a guy who is taking the wings off of flies in his mom's basement, scribbling pentagrams with paint on the wall, and cutting out the eyes of pictures of Kate Smith with empty, Kentucky Colonel fried chicken boxes, and he's sitting there, you know, cleaning his carbine, waiting for the next parade to come by. In other words, he's okay. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
Libertarian Radio with Roy Ott. From his studios in Glendale, California, and on the international satellite provided by World Vision Incorporated, Roy Ott. On New Voice for America. Not left, not right, but right.
You think of that, Roy? I just made that up.
That's a great ad-lib. That's a great, you know, always get an announcer that can ad-lib.
Thank you.
Well, just Spencer, we had a big day today in the news. And we're going to talk all about it. John Kerry says that President Bush is blowing it in Iraq.
Well, I saw those comments, Roy, and...
Isn't that something? But on his side of it, President Bush says he's doing the right thing. Now, who do you believe? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat?
I'm a libertarian, just like you, Roy.
That's right. Libertarian. What is a libertarian? Well, if you've got 5 hours, I'll tell you.
Well, that's the joke everyone tells.
That's right. But I can sum up what a libertarian is. It really just a couple of sentences. A libertarian believes in freedom. Just freedom.
Freedom for everyone.
Freedom for everyone. That's right, Jeff or Steve. Tom.
Bill.
It's Bill? Weren't you Jeff?
You fired Jeff because he...
Oh, yeah. So you're Jim.
I'm Steve.
Steve, I'm sorry. I fired Jim because he made... Yeah.
Well, he did the...
Don't mention it. Okay, but we believe in freedom. Everywhere where there's an unnecessary law, we don't need it. For instance, do we need laws to tell us to give people welfare? No. Do we need laws against marijuana? No. Do we need laws against abortion? No. Do we need laws against murder? Yes, because murder slows down society. See? See what I'm saying, Jeff?
Steve.
Oh, right. Yeah, so let's take a phone call.
Well, I know there's a lot of people who want to talk to you, Roy, and have you explain libertarian philosophy.
That's right, and we're going to get them on the phone right now. You can call me at 1-888-ROY-OTT. 1-888-ROY-OTT. And if you don't know how to spell that, don't bother calling the show.
Isn't that the truth?
It really is. You know...
Steve,
we get so many people calling this program. Well, what is a libertarian? Well, we're going to answer that question. Julie, hi.
My question is really for... is it Jim?
Steve.
It's Steve.
Yeah, my question is for Steve. Steve, you're the announcer on the show?
Yes, I am.
Isn't it a little distracting?
No.
All right, let's just go on another call. Hi, Bob. You're on with Roy Ott.
Roy, I've been listening to this station for a number of years, and I certainly understand the Americans with Disabilities Act, but why they would hire a
All right, and did we dump that call?
We had to dump that call.
You know, that's the little hole in the boy. They're really ripping me. Let's go to Joe. Joe, how you doing? Welcome to Libertarian Radio.
I'm going
to
say it right here. You sound like somebody severed your tongue.
You know something?
I think you have to deal with it.
Go to hell.
Roy?
No, I don't have to do anymore.
Did I say something?
Hold on, sir. Roy?
I'm not doing it anymore. I'm leaving.
To the caller, he is very sensitive.
Well, what happened? It sounds like he has half a tongue. Is this Steve or Jim or Joe or whoever the hell it was that he fired? Look, can I?
Look, I have to.
No, I just want to ask Roy something. And seriously, if you could get him back.
Roy, please.
No, I told you I wanted to refer to it. I'm not going to refer to it.
You don't have to. Come on back, please.
I don't think it's fair, sir.
I'm awfully sorry, Roy. I just want to ask you. Can you say, I thought I saw a pussycat?
I saw... You do...
No, come on! I think you need to deal with it.
All right, sure. When I was a little boy, and I grew up in Altoona, Pennsylvania, I saw an American flag flying on a flagpole in the middle of winter. And I loved it so much. I said, the image of that was so wonderful, you know, Steve?
Yeah.
Then I went up and I licked the flagpole.
And your tongue got...
My tongue got stuck. And the fire department came out and had to cut the whole thing out, the whole tongue. But here they put a new one in.
It's not... What did they use?
Well, they had to use my fingers.
Well, that's not a tongue.
What, are you going to give me a hard time about that? Well, are you giving me a hard time about that? It's a question I'm asking.
No, but I don't know why they'd hire... Forget it.
I wanted to ask, Roy, which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Which wristwatch? Screw you!
Was that? Screw me? Jawohl!
Okay, that's Libertarian Radio. Forgive me. I had no idea that Mr. Ott had his tongue torn out of his head by a rescue team of paramedics when he licked a flagpole in Altoona, Pennsylvania, but certainly the things that he has to say are important. 1-800-449-8686. That's ridiculous. Guy comes on to do a talk show. Well, you know how many cats you're hearing these days that sound like that? Are you aware of what they're putting on the air these days for a talk show host? You know, this show makes more sense in 5 minutes than most of them make in 4 hours. I mean, they are collecting some real losers. Not that they wouldn't do well in another walk of life, for instance, selling encyclopedias. I don't care what it is, man. Reshining, you know, recoppering pipes. But to put a guy on the air who had his tongue ripped out of his head while trying to French kiss a Bengal tiger is unconscionable. All right, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. And I can only say that I do believe in hiring the handicapped as well. But I've done my bit, man. I took Chris Pelton out of rehab. What more do you ask from me? 1-800-449-8686. We have Rastafari and Radio ahead. We also have, of course, tonight, Margaret Gray with Campaign 2004 and Bobby Dooley on Thursday night. Oh, tomorrow night's Wednesday, right? Jay Sanders will be with us and Bobby Dooley on Wednesday, on, forget it, Thursday. And then on Friday, something else. And then on Saturday, something else. And then Sunday we'll be drunk, and then Monday we'll be drunk, but we'll be here with something else. 1-800-449-8686. Thanks very much, Roy.
Yeah, you just say that because you want to feel sorry for me.
All right, then don't thank you very much.
Don't thank you very much.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We've got a flashback from yesterday's show with Steve Bozell, and Margaret Gray is still ahead. How long is that Steve Bozell flashback? 4:20, so I got to get out of here. Jay, I don't have a whole lot of time. Jay Sanders is with us. He'll be with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Jay, what are you going to talk about tomorrow night?
Phil, basically tomorrow night on our Citizens Auxiliary Police segment, I'll be talking about how justice is applied not only to the people, obviously, that we are dealing with, we also apply justice to ourselves. And most recently, I was watching Gloria Allred on Fox News, and I found myself being attracted to her, I suppose, and I cited myself, gave myself a $25 fine for basically being turned on by Gloria Allred. And
what has that got to do with anything?
Well, it's just wrong. It's all wrong. So
you gave yourself a $25 fine for being turned on by Gloria Allred. Did you hear our segment last night with Coach Dozier?
I did, Phil, yeah.
You know, he was upset that he gets hot for Bonnie Bernstein so he can't concentrate on the football game.
Well, this is something that I'm trying to do with all of my recruits, sub-commanders, and so on. And it starts, justice certainly starts with yourself. So, I was watching the Fox News this evening. I love to watch Miss Van Susteren. I am not particularly attracted to her because her mouth has what looks to be some kind of injury.
Greta Van Susteren, why do you say an injury?
Well, I think that probably something having to do with... I don't want to say. It's probably too early.
Yeah, dude, you just better...
But I will say I did find myself oddly attracted to Gloria Allred, and I did cite myself $25 fine for just an unnecessary arousal. And...
Well, look, you know, I've met Gloria Irish. She's a sweet lady, and she's very attractive, actually, in person. And
oh, yeah, that's nice.
No, I mean, she's...
Okay, it's fine. You know, whatever guns your engine, please don't force me into your paradigm, if you will. You know, because... I would say that in a lot of different ways, this is... I don't know, what was it that you were going
to
say?
I don't know, my engineer is trying to tell me something. So you want me to act like if I was Gloria? Oh, Mark wants me to say, like, I'm Gloria, and I'll be Gloria, and I'll talk to you, okay?
No, it's not necessary.
Hey, Jay, you want to come to my law officers? I don't know what the hell he'd say.
See, that turns me off.
Bug off, man. What's with the barking dogs?
They're just picking up the canine dogs, or Zarkannel.
Let you go stuff it, dude. All right, anyway, he'll be on tomorrow night for some reason. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Last night on our show, Steve Bozell was on. He is suing Microsoft for causing him to spank his own son. His son beat him at Halo. And if Microsoft hadn't created the software that makes Halo possible, he never would have played his son or spanked him. And it's all Microsoft's fault. Of course, Steve, he sues everybody, so let's listen.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That machine didn't cause him to do the corporal punishment on his kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the fact that video game can sit on the shelf and never do one thing to make him beat his kid. The fact that he went to the store and bought that game and played it was where he should take the responsibility for.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
The man's talking to you. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. Hold on, kid. Don't take that corner. I was playing a game of Mortal Kombat, and I'll tell you why. That lady that was on the phone, and then the other man who was on just after her, wouldn't allow me to be right about one thing. As a result, now I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. What about that?
Yeah. That's good.
Is the caller there? Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, yeah.
But okay. If you're not, you know, you don't have the common decency to listen to anybody. All you want to do is have your own point and not listen to nobody else thinking you're always right. Okay. The possibility is there that you are dead wrong.
Okay, that may be too. But let me ask you something. If I play a game of House of the Dead, Halo, or Myth, and I lose to some kid who's like 11, and I pick the kid up and I throw him out into traffic, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're definitely wrong, and it's not the video game's fault. That video game sitting at the store is not hurting nobody.
Just sitting there.
You made your mistake right when you went and bought the game. You ain't got enough intelligence to know the difference between game and reality.
Okay, maybe that's true, but I just want to be clear.
It's definitely true.
Hey, all right, I just want to be clear. If I'm playing Donkey Kong with, like, a kid, and the kid bitch slaps me at Donkey Kong, okay, and I take the kid and I stick him in the trunk of my car and I drive my car into a lake, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're wrong for putting the kid in the car. Now, you ought to take and get in the car and do the driving off into the lake. That'd be cool for everybody involved.
Well, you know, sir, look, because I get angry if I'm playing Frogger or what have you, or Donkey Kong or Frogger or any of the Marco, you know, any of them games, and the car hits me, and then I want to beat a kid, you're telling me I'm wrong, and I don't see where you're coming from.
What are you talking about, man? I've been sitting here listening to you. If I play Frogger and a car hits me and I want to beat a kid, if I stick a kid in the trunk of a car after I got beat at Donkey Kong.
I'm just saying, it's like this. Here's another way of looking at it. If you were Superman, okay, is your name Eugene?
Yes.
Yes, sir, okay. If you were Superman and you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and your son threw a hunk of it at your head, what are you going to do? Sue kryptonite? You savvy?
What's the deal with all these ifs? We're talking about what you've done. We're talking about reality.
Yes, that's
exactly. Get away from your video fantasy world. As your favorite word I heard a while ago, if my aunt had a penis, she'd be my uncle. The ifs don't work with me.
No, but it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Let's say a ghost eats me in Pac-Man. Then I take a kid and I just kick him clear into the street in front of a van.
What? You know, this man's right.
It's still your fault because you're playing the video game.
Exactly.
Nobody's
Same
forcing
thing.
You to play the video game.
What do you,
you
mean?
You ain't got enough intelligence to put the controller down and push the off button.
Well, I don't get it.
You don't get it. If you're... What do you
it's
mean?
It's called take responsibility
for your own action.
Well, two of you guys ought to go on Broadway.
What's happening here
anyway.
Is... The audience has got more sense than you do in shutting you down.
So if the Superman son... No, you didn't shut me down.
No, the audience...
You shut down, but you ain't got a good argument tonight.
You're smacked down.
What about the kryptonite argument?
You so far shut down, you in the basement of that video game.
If you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and you threw a hunk at Superman's head, you're going to sue kryptonite.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you won't admit to it. Okay, I'm going to drop a kid.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Who is that, Jay or Steve? He is a mental case. If I get beat at Donkey Kong and I kick a kid out into traffic in front of a van, that's all Microsoft's fault. This is yet another lawsuit this clown is filing because he can't take responsibility for himself. Oh, the tragedy. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go to Wolf. Is it Wolf, sir?
Yes, Phil, it's Wolf. How are you?
Good.
Phil, that gentleman, I think, epitomizes something that is so typical of this country, which is the lack of responsibility. And also, there is a tendency, I think, to keep us from exercising our constitutional rights. Not so much by the government, but I think it's by people like that. But the reason why I called your program is my son was recently asked to return home from school simply because he was wearing a T-shirt with a flag on it.
And you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And I asked him why, and the teacher said this kind of thing could not take place in the school or some kind of answer like this. And
did you speak with the teacher yourself?
Yes, I called the teacher. I said, what... Why is it my son is not allowed to wear the flag on his T-shirt? He said, well, you know very well, this is not acceptable. And it provokes a tension between the students and this. And so I'm calling your program. I've called a number of talk shows this evening as to what can be done. And
well, what school is he in?
Yes, he's in the La Vista School District. And the principal I spoke with was a Mr. Markham.
Mr. Markham. And this man's, and the code,
the dress code expressly prohibits him from wearing the Nazi flag on his T-shirt.
The Nazi flag?
Yeah, what'd you think? What'd you think I was talking about, the American flag, you dumb cough? I'm a clown!
Yeah, okay, thanks, Schultz. Coming up, it's Margaret Gray's Campaign Report 2000.
I see nothing. Hogan.
And also we have Rastafarian Radio with Terry McCoy all ahead on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Campaign 2004 report this hour with Margaret Gray. And Margaret, I know you've had a shift in your thinking of the last 24 hours. Let's talk, though, that you are a reporter. You're an objective reporter. But you've also made your feelings known that you support Senator Kerry's campaign.
That's correct, yes.
And that in your writing, you are, I guess you're one of those rare reporters that says, you know, I do spin it. But you've had a shift a little bit in your thinking.
Phil, go into it a little bit. I still agree so much with Senator Kerry in substance. What I have an issue with is something that became evident to me today, and that is a question that I have, and a very real question, and I think the Kerry campaign needs to answer it. Are they ashamed of the fact that they have gays working in their campaign? Now, this became an issue for me today. When I had covered Senator Kerry's comments here in New York vis-a-vis his new campaign thrust and the comments of President Bush at the United Nations, and again, let me be very clear, I have enormous issues with President Bush. and I am still in substance very much a Kerry supporter. I am very disappointed in the Kerry campaign, though, insofar as they may be in a very closeted way bigoted.
Toward gay people?
Toward gay men in particular. What happened today, I think, is indicative of something that may be running rampant in the campaign. And, you know, I was with Helen Thomas today, who's one of the esteemed reporters. We were at the Kerry campaign headquarters, and there was a young staff worker there. And he was very good-looking, a very cute young boy, and he was a young guy, and I asked if he said to me, do I want something from the salad bar? And so I said to him, because I'd been on my feet all day, it was very innocent, I said, why don't you rub my feet? And I gave him a good-natured pat on his rear end. Now, it was all very innocent, and Phil, so you know, I'm known among the press as a little bit of an extrovert, and when Frank and I are in town, we like to go out. But anyway, that was that. So,
all right, I want to be clear. You were in the campaign headquarters. You gave this young man a pat on the rear and said, why don't you rub my feet? And I got to tell you right now, did you think hitting him on the rear end was appropriate?
But again, I am known among the press corps. Everybody knows me. And if you ask anybody here who has covered the Kerry campaign or any of the other reporters, I'm extroverted. I'm a little bit of a party girl. People know me. And the other thing that I need to mention, Phil, is, you know, 35 years ago, I was up for a part in a show called Big Valley. And there were two young ladies reading for the part of Audra. One of them was me, and the other young lady was a young lady by the name of Linda Evans. Linda got the part. She's a wonderful woman. But I have been attractive my entire life, and I suppose you could say that I've taken care of myself. So when you pat a young man on the rear end and you say, why don't you rub my feet, generally the response is going to be something cute. They're going to be flattered a little bit. So I walked over to the buffet, and I saw the young man, and I said to him, I said, you still owe me a foot rub, and I patted his rear end again. Well, when I said that, the look on his face was, I would say it was distrust. He rolled his eyes. He said something like, I'd rather not. He wasn't smiling. And everything that I had done had been entirely innocent. I had been in the spirit of good fun. But what I got in return was a look of disgust, almost as if he wanted to be sick in his stomach. And I sort of stood there, not really knowing what to think. And then I realized what we were dealing with. This young man was obviously gay or did not appreciate the touch of a woman that way. And I went over to Bill Cappuccelli, who's one of the communications people for Kerry.
All right, now you drew the conclusion that this young man was gay because he didn't like you patting him on the rear end and saying, rub my feet.
No, but you have to understand, it's not a conclusion you draw. You don't get a response like that from a young man who enjoys the touch of a healthy woman. It is entirely meaningless. It is simply something done in the spirit of good fun, and generally the young men will look back at you and they'll smack you on the rear end or whatever. That's what we do. We're press people. And I said to Bill, why can't you be honest about the people you hire? He said, what are you talking about? I told him, I jokingly asked this cute staff worker to rub my feet. I gave him a rub on the rear end. He looked like he needed to be sick, and I said, if this young man is gay, why are you hiding it? And Bill gave me this look that you could take as, you know, you're crazy or you've got me. He was absolutely tongue-tied.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray on a issue with the Kerry campaign that she believes exists. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Is the Kerry campaign hiding or ashamed of the fact that they may have gay staff workers or gay volunteers working for them? And I would imagine this is a concern for you because traditionally Democrats are on the side of at least gay rights in the gay community.
Absolutely, and I think it also goes to an issue that I've had for a long time. Are the Democrats shifting over to a more conservative view in light of the fact that President Bush does have this enormous lead in the polls? But for them to hide a gay...
But you're drawing a conclusion here that they have a staff worker who is gay because he didn't like you patting him on the rear end. And
well, it's not a conclusion.
I'm not making a... You're not making a big leap here?
No, absolutely not. Ask any man. The women know what I mean. When you good-naturedly give a good-looking young man a pat on the rear end, especially if you're an extrovert like myself, most young men are going to appreciate that. Instead, he looks at me as if he's going to vomit. And, you know, I think that a healthy young man enjoys the attention of a woman as opposed to some young queer who doesn't like the attention of a healthy woman.
Now, when you use the word queer, that...
Well, it's an acceptable word, Phil. It's an acceptable...
Well, it sounds vituperative.
No, it is entirely acceptable. It is... I don't know if... What do you mean vituperative? You've heard of the show Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. You've heard of these...
Yeah, I have, but in the way that you used it, it sounded...
No, no one has stood for gay rights more than me. I have been considered by many to be an attractive woman. When others think you're attractive, it's natural to be a little bit more physical with people than if you're a woman who's a little bit plain. When I give a young man a good-natured pat on the rear end, they always laugh and we have a good time with it. This man had a look on his face if he was going to be sick all over the serving tray. And I have never, in 3 years of reporting, I've never been treated that way. And it happened in the Kerry campaign.
All right, you are looking for an apology and an acknowledgement that the young man is gay.
Absolutely.
Now, that is outing somebody, isn't it?
You know, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, you're asking to out somebody. If the guy's gay and he doesn't want to be outed, he doesn't want to be outed.
Phil, first of all, I would never out a man in a million years, so he can stay warm in the closet if he wants. I'm made to look like something that molested a young boy, though. And if it's the choice between me looking like a molester and this man coming clean and saying he's got to be queer or gay or whatever word you want to use, then I think he owes it to me. I'm a woman, and I think I deserve a little bit of that consideration. And I'll tell you something else. I've never been more offended in my life than to good-naturedly slap a young man on the rear end and to have him look at me as if he would rather puke into a toilet.
Obviously, this was an emotional day.
It was very emotional, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We are with Margaret Gray. I know that you wanted to ask the audience.
Well, I'd really like to take the pulse of your audience. Do I or do I not have the right to ask the Kerry campaign to apologize or at least have this young man come out of the closet so I won't look like some kind of a molester or a fiend? I reached over, I gave him a pat on his rear end. Something that a man would appreciate from an attractive woman. Instead, he looked at me as if he was going to be sick all over the front of his vest, and I found that to be insulting.
1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether or not the Kerry campaign is keeping gay volunteers or gay staff workers in the closet. And I don't know whether or not the Kerry campaign, in point of fact, has much to do with this, but Ms. Gray today was insulted by the fact that she gave a young staff worker at the Kerry campaign a good-natured pat on the rear end and asked for a foot rub. She says he looked at her as if he was going to be sick all over the serving tray. And I guess basically, is that right, Chris? You talked to her, told her to get away from him. She feels that he's got to be gay. And why are they keeping him in the closet, especially the Democratic campaign, which, and the Democratic Party, which has always been very much pro or on the side of the gay community. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray. This is Campaign 2004, and we'll be back with more of her comments tonight on The Phil Henry Show. We also have coming up this evening Rastafarian Radio and a visit from Comb Over Boy. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bus to Donnellwood if you'll shut up.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray on the line with me. Campaign 2004 report at the Kerry campaign today. Were you asked to leave? Just so I know.
No, Phil. I was not asked to leave.
Well, just so I know, when you made the comment to this young campaign worker, and he was an attractive young guy, right?
He was cute. I wouldn't say that he was, you know, we weren't looking at Brad Pitt, but he was cute, and I said to Helen, let's have some fun. And I said, why don't you run? That's the kind of woman I am, and that's the kind of women a lot of women are. And I said, why don't you rub my feet? And I gave him a little pat on the rear end, And I give it a little bit of a squeeze, and he looks at me and takes two fingers and makes as if he's trying to make himself vomit. So right there, that is an absolute rude and very, ungentlemanly response. Secondly, when I said to him, you know, you owe me that foot rub, he got a look on his face as if he was going to vomit forever. To me, that is, without question, a campaign, not just this young man, but entire campaign, the Kerry campaign, that has gone out, hired these young queers, and...
Margaret, when you say queer...
Phil, I am not using it in a negative sense. I'm using it in the contemporary sense. You are thinking I'm being bigoted, and I'm not. And I, again, queer eye for the straight guy, they use that word in a completely, completely unbiased way. So
yeah, but you started out saying gay, and now you're saying they hire...
I'm saying the Kerry campaign is hiring these young gay men, keeping them in the closet until they insult a seasoned reporter such as myself. That's why I'm rethinking my association with the Kerry campaign.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. And, of course, the question is, does the Kerry campaign owe you an apology, or at least does the Kerry campaign owe you as much as demand this young man come out of the closet, admit he's gay, and then what, you're vindicated?
Then, yes, then people realize that it wasn't some straight man rejecting the advances of a woman who is, can I say this with humility, attractive. It was some young, and yes, I'll use the word, some young buck queer who did not appreciate the touch of a healthy woman.
All right, what? Well, all right, so that means gay women are not healthy.
Phil, I am not trying to turn this into an argument.
All right, I'm hearing from you some things that are conflicting, I think. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Let's go to Nancy. Hello, Nancy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. I absolutely think that this woman is totally out of line. You had absolutely no business touching that man anywhere, and to expect him to apologize is unacceptable. Shame on you for an adult woman to touch a man and expect him to reciprocate. I think you're out of line.
Well, I'm trying to get the pulse of American women. Why do you feel that way?
Because I think as a woman, even if a man, I don't think you have any business touching someone unless they ask you to touch them.
But what happened to us as women where we can't have some fun the way men have, and we can't reach out and give a good-looking guy a little pat on the rear end and say, hey, stud, give me a foot rub?
Well, let me tell you
what
something.
What has happened to us as women that we can't do that?
Well, women's movement has done that, but let me tell you something. If a man did that to a woman,
well,
you would be hearing... I'm trying to.
Well, thank God for the women's movement.
Well, let the lady finish, because you're making a good point, Nancy.
If a man had touched a woman that way, you would be hearing sexual harassment
completely
all over
different,
the front pages.
Totally different situation.
No, I don't think, not at all. Not
I
totally
no
different.
First of all, baseball players do it to each other all the time.
It's
football
irrelevant.
Players do it to each other. Well, you can't say it's irrelevant if it is a good-natured slap on the bum coming from an attractive woman. And I'll tell you something else. Most men, straight men, are not going to criticize that.
You cannot generalize with that, because some straight men, maybe they don't find you attractive. Just because you think you're attractive does not mean everybody does.
I beg your pardon.
I don't know what you look like. I have never seen you. All I'm saying is that you cannot take it.
Excuse me, but I was a model and an actress for a good part
of
my life.
Well, you know, hurrah for you. It doesn't mean that everybody thinks you're attractive. Men have different tastes than women.
So, in other words, they hire butt-ugly women. You don't make any sense. You're saying they hire butt-ugly women to be actresses. Secondly, you're saying a straight man doesn't want a good-looking woman to touch his rear end.
I think you are a horrible person for even thinking those things.
Then I have to ask a question, and I'm sorry. Are you attractive?
I have been
What does that
attractive.
Have to do with anything?
But let me tell you something. I don't go around touching strange men's butts and expecting them to make passes or smile at me.
All right.
Where
does the Kerry campaign come in where they're not admitting they've got a bull queer working on one of their staffs?
Who cares?
Well,
simply, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And
because it humiliates me. If that was a straight man, but there wouldn't be an issue.
The Kerry campaign isn't about you, dear.
It's not about you.
All right, good points, Nancy. 1-800...
What do you mean, good points?
Well, I'm just saying, I thought she was saying some things such as, you know, you shouldn't be touching a man inappropriately.
It never would have been an issue had they not had this young Buck Queer working at...
Would you please not use that word? It's bothering me, and I think it upsets my audience.
Phil, the question is still out there. Why is the Kerry campaign keeping these people in the closet? No straight man would ever have been upset by me giving him a gentle squeeze on his rear end. Only a buck...
I know what you said, and I hear what you're saying. I think there's more to this than just one person. Carla, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Carla?
Yes.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
Carla?
Yes, go ahead.
I beg to differ greatly with your guest because my husband was
the
least...
Are you attractive?
That has nothing to do with anything. My husband was the least straight, was the least gay man in the entire world, and he would have been extremely insulted had anyone come up to him. I don't care what she looked like.
Well,
he had him on the bottom.
Well, he's a married man, isn't he?
Pardon me?
He's a married man, isn't he? And I think that's totally...
Well, he's deceased right now. But even before he was a married man, he would have been insulted had anyone come up and patted him on the bottom without his permission.
Well, I tell you right now, he'd appreciate if he could feel someone patting him on the
bottom.
But that's a joke. That's just a joke. That's a joke.
No, ma'am,
the woman's husband is dead, okay?
Well, I'm making a joke about him being dead. In other words, if he was dead and he could feel someone squeeze his rear end.
Even when he was alive, he would not have appreciated it at all. He would have been insulted that someone do something.
But I said when he was alive, he was married to you, correct?
Correct.
All right. Come on. See what I'm saying? In other words, if he was single... Or if
when he was single, he would have been insulted, too.
I know the man well enough to know that. I don't know how you can say that.
To assume that someone is gay simply because they don't accept someone else's advances that were unasked for is ludicrous.
I understand your point of view, but I want to get your pulse on this. I am an attractive woman. I'm not trying to be stuck up, but I was up for the part of Audrey in Big Valley, and an attractive older woman... giving a young, healthy, straight man a squeeze on his rear end is considered to be de rigueur in our society. Don't you think so?
I don't think it's acceptable. Any more than it's acceptable for an attractive older man to give a young woman a pat on the bottom. It's not acceptable.
Are you attractive?
I would like to think so,
but I don't know.
I'm 55 years old. It doesn't matter.
Well, darling, I'm 53, and the next time you see a good-looking young man, give him a gentle... grope on his rear end and see if he doesn't turn around and smile.
I wouldn't insult him now.
Carla, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Ms. Gray patted a campaign worker for the Kerry organization on the butt. The kid got upset. Ms. Gray thinks he must be gay and the Kerry campaign's hiding it. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Joined this hour by Margaret Gray, who is a seasoned reporter. He's been on the campaign trail with Senator Kerry and has been covering the campaign for us here on Campaign 2004. Your issue with the Kerry campaign is that you're afraid they may have gay staff workers that they're keeping in the closet. Why do you think they're keeping them in the closet? What gives you the idea they're keeping in the closet? Because you patted this young man on the rear end today who was a staff worker there at the campaign headquarters. And you're in New York, right, Margaret?
I am in New York City, Phil, and the campaign headquarters located on Manhattan, just on East 44th. Right now, I'm at a fun little restaurant called Ruby Foods, which is on Broadway, and I just gotten done working, filing my afternoon report, and went back to the hotel and come here for something to eat. And thinking about this, I don't know whether I want to go back to work tomorrow, though. Because,
To interrupt you, the title of your column tomorrow is When Buck Queers Go Too Far. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So you feel, regardless of whether this young man's gay or not, he's got to be gay.
Phil, let me explain something to you and to any listeners that don't get it. I don't presume to be Marilyn Monroe, but I'm an attractive woman, and I've reached out and given a lot of men a down through the years, a friendly squeeze on a cheek of their rear end. And I have never had one of them look back at me and look as if they're going to spew a combination of stomach acid and liver bile all over the stage apron, as this young man did today. He's got to be gay. Got to be.
Well, you're asking for an apology for the campaign headquarters. I don't think you're going to get that. Maybe one from the young man.
Well, that's the pulse I want to take on the women calling in tonight.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Uh-huh.
Okay. I think you're completely wrong. That is sexual harassment.
Well, but how do you figure it's sexual harassment when most men enjoy it?
Most men don't enjoy it.
Well,
what do you think
don't
most men enjoy
think
it?
How do you know? Most men enjoy the attention of a handsome woman. Wouldn't you agree with that?
If they're with that woman.
But even if they're not with that woman, they're
flattered. If they're out to pick up someone, maybe in a bar.
Pat, you and I know men better than that. You know that men enjoy the attention of a handsome woman.
It's sexual harassment, ma'am. Whether I put my hands on a young man, or whether an older man puts his hands on a young woman, or a young man puts his hands on an older woman, it's sexual harassment.
Well, I
think
it depends on the woman. If the woman is plain or is not what we traditionally call attractive,
well, let me tell you,
ma'am,
I'm far from being plain or inattractive, and I feel it's sexual harassment.
Well,
the law feels it's sexual harassment.
I don't know whether you're telling me the truth or not, but I'm saying that if you are indeed attractive as I am, then you are going...
You know, you're running the risk here, Margaret, of something.
What?
You're running the risk of alienating the audience by talking about how attractive you are. And
well, it goes to the point of what I'm trying to say. That when a buck queer looks...
I don't like that term.
He doesn't necessarily have to be queer.
You know, Pat...
Maybe he's a religious young man and he didn't want groped.
I didn't do anything other than squeeze one cheek.
You should never touch him.
Well, I think you're coming from a very pedantic and very dogmatic point of view. And I think if it were you and I and we'd had a couple of glasses of wine and I said to you, Pat, look at that young stud over there, pat him on the rear end. I bet you in a loose moment you'd do it and you wouldn't think more about it than if you'd just thrown up.
I'll bet I would. And
well,
you keep saying how attractive you are and you were up for this role.
Yes.
I'm sure Linda Evans got it because she's got some class.
You don't have... Believe me, darling, I've been in Hollywood long enough. You don't need to have class to get jobs. The Big Valley? Come on.
All you got to do is pat them on the ass or grope them, right?
Well, I think that... I think what we're dealing
ma'am,
with
ma'am, that is
you know,
sexual harassment.
I
don't...
I wish women were more liberated. It's sad to talk to them.
Well, but are you hearing what women are trying to say is this? They don't want to be... women don't want to be painted with one brush saying it's one rule for them, it's another rule for men. If men can't do it, I think a lot of women are fair-minded saying women can't do it either.
And
I think most of that comes from women who are butt ugly, who cannot...
You know, you use a lot of... For a writer, you sure reach for some real colloquial terms like butt ugly and buck queer.
Well, Pat, you know what I'm saying.
All right, Pat.
I know what you're saying. You have absolutely no class.
No, I didn't say that at all. That's
you're supposed to be professional.
No, no,
be
no,
professional.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
All right, Pat, thank you for your call.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. What, are you going to get the last word in?
Well, it's hard to believe that woman was attracted by the sound of that smoker's throat she's got. Now, I'll tell you this right now. For a woman that smokes about 3 packs of Pall Malls, like she probably does, if she's attractive, she's probably got a face like a roadmap. And I can tell
you know, you're really judgmental of people.
No woman that age who smokes has got a kisser on her that's anything other than something akin to Jack Palance. Now, I'm sorry, but I am trying to make a point here about the young buck
queer that you wrote about in your column. I know. 1-800-449.
It just sounded to me like her jowls were... She might have had Nixon-esque jowls, that's all.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, the lady is on the phone. I don't know if you're attractive like you say you are, and I don't think it has anything to do with what we're talking about. Shirley, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
All right, thanks.
Hi, yes, ma'am.
I just want to clarify. First of all, I do not smoke, regardless of how I sound, and quite frankly, I thought Miss Gray probably was a smoker when I was listening to her.
Yes,
so.
I do smoke.
Okay, now, I'm calling in under the...
But you've got a very pleasant voice.
I'm calling in on the assumption that she's honest, that she wants to hear the pulse of the women in the country, so I'm giving one.
I want to hear the pulse.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, I want to put my finger on it.
Your conclusion is absolutely bizarre.
About me squeezing his rear end, yes.
Your conclusion is absolutely bizarre for two reasons. For one thing, the main thing is you're absolutely taking not any consideration into the man's perspective on this situation. Personally, when you were telling the story, I got a little sickened thinking of this young man thinking of somebody the age of his mother, possibly his grandmother, giving him a squeeze on the butt. That is offensive. And secondly,
conclusion.
Let this lady finish, please.
So I'm not going to be
the second issue. The greater concern is that he had a job at stake. He was there representing his party. He's young. He has to prove himself.
Hello.
Hold on, Shirley, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Yeah, I gotta go. Yes.
Could you not be taking cell phone calls while we're on the air?
I'm sorry. I'm a reporter. I've got to talk to the city desk.
All right, but please, while we're on the air, go ahead, Shirley.
All right, so my point is this guy has a job at stake. He can't respond to a woman.
Margaret?
Hold on for a minute.
Kind of makes you wonder if it isn't planned, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Are you getting people to call so this lady won't talk?
Phil, I am a reporter, and I want to hear what she has to say. I also have to stay in touch with a city desk that needs reports filed. We're going to bed with the paper at 10 o'clock tonight. I'm so very sorry if I'm not paying attention to you two little lovebirds. But
ma'am, we can conclude this interview, but either you're on my show or you're not. Now, go ahead, Shirley, please. And Margaret, listen, please. Go ahead, Shirley.
All right. The main points were, this is an older woman groping a young man. I've been in a position where I've had the opportunity, and I've learned there's a judgment call here.
Right, exactly.
Right now, I'm at the age where I understand young men are not interested in me, okay? There comes a point at which we have to recognize.
Oh, Shirley, you don't know that. I bet there are young men that think you're...
Don't tell me what you know about me, okay? Don't tell me what you know about me. Just understand that men have their reasons to need to not respond to those kinds of aggressions, and you were inappropriate. There's no other way around it.
Right.
It's totally inappropriate.
All right, let me say this.
Bye-bye.
Are you hanging up and you don't want to hear my comment?
No, I can't hear very well.
All right.
Oh, you can't. You're deaf, but you called up to talk to me, and so I don't get to talk to you because you're deaf.
Where are you now?
I'm sorry?
Where are you now?
I'm sorry, I used the ladies' room. Is that against the rules, too?
It might be considered a little rude.
I really feel sorry for both of you. I really do.
Well, you don't have to, because we live very healthy lives.
All right, Shirley, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, I want to jump in and say this. It is a fantasy that a healthy, attractive woman is not appreciated by a man. Her attention is not appreciated by a man. And for any woman to say that a man doesn't... Hold on for just a minute.
Margaret.
Hold on. What? No. No. For to say that a man does not appreciate the attentions of a woman is fantasy.
Okay, the attentions of a woman while a guy's in the middle of...
It's fantasy.
While the guy...
It is fantasy, I'm telling you.
Here is Tammy. Go ahead, Tammy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, thanks. Tammy. Go ahead.
Yeah, you keep saying that it's all about looks and all about touching men. Isn't it about respect? And obviously you don't have any respect for yourself or others since you're taking phone calls during this interview.
I'm sorry,
Turn the phone off, please.
All right, I'll turn it off. How did I not have respect for that young man? I'm showing him what I think he's a hunk.
So there's other ways to show affection without reaching out and grabbing somebody. My fiancé would be completely embarrassed and feel disrespected by having a woman grab his ass, old or young or ugly or good looking.
You know, Tammy, that's what... Hold on a minute.
What is that, ma'am?
It's my beeper. I'm sorry. Tammy, that's what he tells you. But when you're
that's
not
what
with
I
him,
know. I watched him for a year before we started going out.
Have you been around him?
And during that time, he never would have appreciated anything like that. When women did things like that, he walked away and asked them not to do it any longer.
That's the act that men put on for us, but when they're by
themselves... He wasn't asking for anybody. That's just disrespectful and immoral.
Will you turn the phone off, please?
I'm sorry.
And he was in his workplace. That's sexual harassment at work.
And turn the beeper off, please?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tammy.
So you're saying that it's okay for somebody, a male worker that I work with, to come to me and grab my ass.
And
no,
if I
did not say
nicely,
that. I said it was
I'm
all
gay.
Right. I said it was all right. First of all, I don't know. Look, I'm saying this. If he comes up to you and he gives your rear end a squeeze at the age
I
of 50 or whatever.
You, his face.
Oh, my God. How old are you?
40.
My God, Tammy, be grateful that a man is squeezing your rump at 40.
My God, woman,
oh
be
my
glad
God.
That you're still alive. If
I am glad I'm alive.
If he grabbed my ass, he would get slapped. And I'm surprised
so
that he didn't get slapped.
Would you please close the door or something when you're doing that?
I'm sorry.
That young man had much more respect for a human being than you ever will
have. Cranberry juice. Well, I will say this. That it
off with the phone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I work for a living.
Yeah, so do I. I work for a living, and I go to school, and I take care of my family, and I would never treat anybody the way you're treating me right now.
At the age of 40, a man comes up and gives a gentle grope. You should say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the...
Oh, if a man came up and gave me a smile and said, you're very attractive, I would say, thank you, Jesus.
If you were get,
will you
if
turn
he
off
came
the...
up and grabbed my ass, I would slap him across the face and tell him how rude he was.
So in other words, hey, I think your rear end is shaped nicely. Oh, really? Well, I hate your guts. I think
that's not what I'd say, but
I
he wouldn't grab me, would he?
There's turn off the pager on the phone.
Line there. And
take
when you grabbed that young man's butt, did you know
right.
that he was single?
The single? He's a young
buck. How did
buck
you
queer.
Know that he wasn't attached?
I think that...
Pager and phone.
I think the young buck queer...
And please don't use that term.
Well, forget it. I thought free speech was alive in America, but apparently it isn't. Hello?
All right, Tammy, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You know what she looks like
good
to me with her, with your good shoes and your bad bag? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube. Good nutrition has given you length of phone, but you're not too much far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars. And all you wanted to do was get out, get anywhere, all the way to the FBI. Do you think I have smoker's throat, Phil?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten her children? Have you seen them lately?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, this is Dr. Vernon Bronsky, and welcome to Self-Help. I'm here in the Sherman Oaks Galleria and practicing a brand new kind of medicine. It's called neo-homeopathy. In neo-homeopathy, I can take a look at the tongue and tell you exactly what's wrong with you. Want me to prove it to you? Let's talk to some of the people here in the Sherman Oaks Galleria. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Bruce Johnson.
And this is your wife?
All right, Bruce,
I can tell you exactly what's wrong with you. You say you've been feeling ill?
I've been feeling, I'm not having natural thoughts.
You're not having natural thoughts? Stick out your tongue.
Yep, it's syphilis.
That's right. Our new neo-homeopathy. Want to know more? Tune in to Self-Help with Dr. Bronsky on the Phil Hendry Radio Network.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The women that are on that field, they love the game. They want to be there.
How do you
so
know?
So if that's where they want to be,
how
then
do you
let
know?
Them be there.
How do you know?
Second of all, if you think that it's a distraction to
they
have
be
just
there
the women
they
reporters,
show it all off.
Then you have got to take the cheerleaders off because, believe me, I think they're a little more sexual and titillating than the reporters, don't
Big
you think?
The cheerleaders are only there between plays. They're not there all week long,
yes.
shaking
no.
their rear ends in the face. Hey, lady, I worked in professional football.
I just think
you're working behind a counter there at Staples or something doesn't mean you know
oh,
all of it.
Excuse
you. Know, you,
you.
May be
excuse
walking,
you. I am
you
not working
walking.
Behind the counter at Staples.
Well,
I
right.
am a teacher. Thank you.
Now, I've heard from two teachers. Now, what qualifies them to talk about football?
It doesn't
well, they're
matter.
People
the
that
point
are
that you're saying
yeah,
is that women cannot be on the sidelines. It doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman.
I'm not saying they can't be on the sidelines.
They can aspire to be anything they want. And if they want to be on the sidelines,
I didn't say they can't
be
on the
sideline.
If you're
not
saying they shouldn't be on the sideline, Vernon, what are you saying? I'm saying be honest with why you put them on the sideline, which is to get me hot.
and every man watching the game.
You know, I think you need to take some pills or something to calm yourself down, because, boy, you're getting hot a lot, aren't you?
How do you know?
Your poor wife.
Are you, if you're not a lesbian, then you don't know why a woman is attracted to a man. But you take a look at some of this stuff they're putting out there.
But
now,
you know what? This conversation has nothing to do with whether people are gay or straight. This is about women and men. That's all it is. You cannot be having both
Mr.
conversations.
Henry, I called in because I get to set the topic. Isn't that right?
Well,
but why are you letting her do it?
What do you mean?
She's saying what the topic is. I thought am I the guest?
Of course you're the guest.
Then I say the topic is women are on the sideline trying to get guys hot, and they can't report the game, and they've been sticking their noses in the men's locker room all week long. A lot of these guys are nude, so what are they doing? Getting their kicks doing that, too. That's what I'm saying.
But that still has nothing to do with whether they're gay or straight. You keep bringing up the gay factor, and it still has no idea, it says no point.
Well, then, you know what? Maybe you want to just hang up the phone and say, gee, tonight I talked to an idiot by the name of Vernon Dozier, because that's the respect I've been getting on this.
Guess what?
Well,
I'm going to take your advice.
Mr. Dozier,
I'm going to hang up the phone.
You
goodbye.
Know, I got no respect.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Poor Vernon. No respect, man. All those chicks on the sidelines, Susie Colbert, Bonnie Bernstein, Lisa, what's her face? Melissa Stark. They are only there to get guys like Vernon distracted from the business of football. Coming up on the show this evening, still more Rastafarian Radio with Terry McCoy. And we'll be talking with the comb-over boy, too. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We'll have Rastafarian Radio tonight with, is Terry McCoy going to be hosting that? Because Terry's the weatherman at the station, and Big J, who's the host of the show, is always sick or stoned. So I guess Terry's going to be hosting the show again tonight. And I think Comb Over Boy is going to visit us. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tomorrow night is Wednesday night. That's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Dr. Jack Briscoe and Sheila Skelly with Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, how you can make yourself look better through plastic surgery. And some of the segments we've had in a plastic surgery feature included a visit from Michael Jackson where the air was let out of his face because apparently there was too much cold air in the room and his kisser collapsed like a souffle. And then, of course, there was Joan Rivers, who was on last week, and they used too much C4 in her nose job. Her entire head blew up. So all of that is ahead on the Phil Hendry Show. Also Thursday night, Bobby Dooley and Michael Moore's America. And on Friday night, Ted Bell and Phil's Mailbag. Woo! Skimpy swimsuits, a shortened telecast, and a last woman standing talent competition couldn't help Miss America's TV rating. Don't grab that out of my hand, bud.
Yeah, why don't you see something?
I'm reading a story. Don't grab it out of my hand.
Yeah, but listen to this. The new wrinkles in the Miss America contest included shaving.
Give me that. What do you mean shaving?
Right there.
New wrinkles included shaving an hour off the 3-hour telecast, you jackass. Not shaving.
Oh, I thought that was a period.
That's not a period. That's pizza juice. If you eat in here again, by the way, you're fired.
My heat's in the...
If you eat in here again, you're fired. Guy gets pizza juice on here, thinks it's a period. New wrinkles in the telecast included, quote, shaving. Shaving an hour off the 3-hour telecast. And don't ever grab a piece of copy out of my hand again, okay?
I'm sorry.
It's not professional. And don't light it on fire like you did last week while I was reading it.
I'm sorry.
The show, which culminated in the crowning of Miss America Deirdre Downs, had some new wrinkles, chief among them shaving an hour off the 3-hour telecast and speeding up its pace. And then they had a head-to-head talent competition. Now, the last time I watched the Miss America contest, one of the talents that was displayed by the contestant was roller skating. And then another one was walking around with a fiddle. And when's the last time you saw a woman in a tight evening dress walking about a stage playing a bluegrass fiddle? And then I think another one had, one of them was something really like a hula hoop. I mean, it's goofy what they have as a talent thing. You know what it says? It says, among other things, that, well, I have to agree with this gentleman, Rutgers University professor Stephen Miller, a TV expert. He says, it's time to look at Miss America for what it is, an event that is a symbol of a bygone era. In order to compete against more modern shows, it needs to have a complete makeover. And in many ways, that's probably true. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, go ahead, Bobby. You're on the air.
Yeah, Phil, I was listening to what you were saying about the Miss America contest, and I think that something needs to be said, that a lot of beautiful women are just, in general terms, stupid.
Beautiful women are stupid? I don't know that that's necessarily. My wife's beautiful. She's not stupid.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying the kind of women that they have for these contests. I'm not saying that all beautiful women are stupid, but apparently the kinds of women that we consider to be traditional American beauties are imbeciles.
Well, that isn't that a little harsh, considering the fact, number one, that many of these women, I think, are going to college.
Well, here's a quote from one of them. She said, "I'm so excited, I think I'm going to throw up." That isn't something that I think a woman with presence of mind is going to say, or a woman with any kind of savvy as to broadcasting. So I think that what you're dealing with here, 25 million people tuning in to look at blithering idiots who look nice and in a G-string. You know, one of the things that I think needs to be said is that we can have a Miss America contest, but we've got to feature gorgeous women who are also incredibly bright. And, you know, don't grab the phone.
Who is that?
That's my husband. I'm sorry. He grabbed the phone away.
Tell him.
That's the phone. I'll tell him.
What is he saying?
I wanted to say that I am an example of a woman who's attractive, who is also very intelligent. And yet I won't be picked for the Miss America pageant because I think that there is a bigotry about older women.
Oh, well, you know, they have, well, you say you're beautiful, okay. They have the Mrs. America pageant.
Well, I think that's just something they throw to older women. But the younger women that we have today are blithering imbeciles. And I just think it needs to be said. Grab the phone. I also want to say...
Look at it. Your general point has been made...
My idea is to allow me to be in next year's contest. I'm firm, I'm pert, yet I do have a good intelligence. I graduated from the University of Southern California. I have my bachelor's degree in communications. Yet I'm firm and pert. If you grab the phone one more time, I'm going to kick you right in your gonads. I swear to
God. All right, if this is a fight you're having with your husband, I'd rather not hear it.
No, he's just grabbing the phone. He knows better.
All right, I hear what you're saying. We need to have beautiful women who are also intelligent.
Right, but also firm and pert. And
I understand about firm and pert. And
ow! I'm sorry, Phil. I had to kick him square in his...
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Moving on with this story, while viewership for network television as a whole is on the decline, some believe Miss America's days on TV are numbered unless it makes radical changes. Look, if they're talking about this is what beauty is, I'm surprised they haven't been sued. Of course, it is a private enterprise, but fact, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act is very clear. You can't keep people away from a job just because they have a disability. Let's get some good-looking women in wheelchairs. Well, somebody somewhere is going to make that argument, and that's just another prediction that's going to come true, as God is my witness. They're going to say, why can't a woman come out there on a crutch? Who's to say what's beautiful and what isn't? And when you're watching the Miss America pageant like I did one year, and Miss Minnesota comes out with a wad of spinach shoved between her front teeth, because somebody didn't say, "E," you know, they always tell you, "E, let's see the teeth." Someone didn't do it, and she comes out, gives the big grin. She's got on this tight sequin dress and a big wad of what looks like collard greens shoved between the third and fourth tooth. someone hadn't flossed her. That's a drag. So, yeah, I'd say the Miss America pageant is history, but, man, we've always got that Hustler Casino. Larry Flint takes it over, Jim. I guarantee there'll be some viewers. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Hendry Show coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome, everyone. This is Rastafari on radio. I'm a Jamaican woman. Make you feel real good. He is your host tonight, Big J.
Hello, I'm Terry McCoy, and I'm filling in for Big J, who is not with us this evening. And I want all of you Rastafarian fans to feel better. Big J's rushed to the hospital this evening. Apparently, his doctors tell us his brain suffered from what they're calling a spontaneous cannabis saturation collapse. And that's when the brain cells become so heavy with the rosin from cannabis that the entire brain sinks down into the neck. But we'll be back. I'm sure he'll be back. Right now, I'm going to play some of this Jamaican boogie music or whatever they call it. Let's go to one of your phone calls. Hello, and this is Terry McCoy on Rastafarian Radio.
Hey, Mom, what do you call it, boogie music, huh?
No, I didn't mean to say boogie music. I mean boogie as in dancing music.
Hey, Mom, you are racist, huh?
No, I'm not racist at all. I'm Terry McCoy. I'm the weatherman here at the boogie. I mean at the Rastafarian.
Hey, Mom.
Rastafarian, forgive me.
Jackass.
Oh, that's good stuff, isn't it? I want to point something out this evening here on Rastafarian Radio that a lot of this music I don't think sells very well because you can't understand the words that many of these people are saying. These are people originally from the Jamaican island, and their version of English is a tad difficult to understand. Let's listen, and I think you'll see what I'm saying. Listen to this. What is? See, I don't. Get up. Time to go to school and time to start. I don't understand a word he's saying. What? You didn't plant an herb, I think? You're not planting on her? It sounds like my dog is skinny and I lit my head on fire. See what I'm saying? Oh, I don't understand this crazy stuff. So, hello. Yeah, this is a call for the program director. Yes, sir.
What the hell are you doing, man? I put you on the air to play some of that stuff for the Jamaican, and you saying you don't understand it?
Look, Ron,
No, don't look Ron mean nothing, white man. Now, you just play that music. Don't comment on whether or not you understand what the brother's saying. Just play the damn music. You understand what I'm saying?
Ron, I thought I'd bring to the show a refreshing perspective.
I don't want no refreshing perspective. I want you to shut your mouth, play, and when you come out, tell a man what the name of the song is, then play another song. We'll talk about, hey, man, I don't understand. You're a white man. You're not supposed to understand. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, Ron, I wanted to...
Forget about your interesting perspective, all right? A Big J there, I put him on the air. His head collapsed down into his neck because he'd been sucking so much of that cannabis, he don't know which end is up. I don't want to comment on the show, Honky Lip. Just spin the record.
All right. Here is another...
And the word is Rastafarian, you jackball. Not ready to get it. It was ready to get it. You sound like some mumbling damn cracker. Just play the music, your old fame mother. Or I tell you, swear to God, I'll bring in my daughter to do it. She just come out of the crib, man. She just potty trained yesterday. I have she make more damn sense than you.
I, just think it's wrong for Americans to have interest in Jamaican radio stations at a time.
Don't forget about when a brother trying to make himself some money in Jamaica. That's my damn business. At least I'm down with brothers down there, okay? I give a white man a job down there. First thing you do, you want to start running the show. Is that what you want to do now? Because you white, you want to run the show?
No, Ron, I don't...
Then why are you trying to run the show, all right? You give a brother a hard time because I'm trying to make a couple of dollars for my family. I'm down playing the music for the brothers down there, all right? Now you find yourself an idol with white people on, you play all the white music you want to play. Not get it evil on your ass, boy. Play the record and shut your white pie hole now.
You know, sometimes you can be a real a-hole.
Yeah, you want to find out? I'll get evil on your ass. You watch me. Play the damn record.
This music sounds very happy, but I don't feel happy.
Oh, shut up with the comments, man. Just play it, will you?
Here is UB40. Hold on for a minute. Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling. My name is Pastor William Rennick. I heard the hard time that the man just gave you. I want you to know you're doing a good job, son. But you've got to understand, this music speaks culturally to a certain segment of the population. And I don't think you can speak to that segment of the population. Just play the record, son. All right?
Well, thank you, Reverend. I appreciate that.
Another thing, you're playing the same record you just played. You maybe change it up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you played that one, too. Get another record on.
Hold on for a minute, yes.
What the hell you doing, man? You doing a talk show now?
I just called up to tell a young man that, he's doing a good job. And
who the hell are you?
My name is Pastor William Rennick.
Well, I don't need no pastor. What the hell are you doing, man? You doing a talk radio show or you playing the music?
Well, he pointed out I'm playing the same record.
I heard that, too. Now you got to listen to...
Don't rip on the young man. He's trying to do the very best job.
Reverend, I have all respect and will for you. Please don't tell me my business, all right?
Brother, I'm just saying, the young man's doing a good job. But he's playing the same record. I just say he shouldn't comment. That's all. I was agreeing with you, brother.
All right, please don't tell me my business, all right? And what the hell are we hearing my dirty laundry on the air for anyway, okay? Just play a record, man. I'm on here doing a damn talk so everybody can hear everything I'm saying.
Brother, what you're doing is you're making everybody sound stupid. And
come on, what you doing?
I'm playing a record.
Shut that music off. What'd you say?
Brother, you are ripping on a young white man, and he's just trying to do the best job he can.
He's making all kind of racist comment about he can't understand the music. Play a damn song, will you? I'm talking to Reverend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shut the music off. I can't hear him.
What do you want me to...
Just play the record. Now, would you turn that record off for me?
I don't know what to...
Turn the record off. Put it back on. Turn it off. Put it on. Turn it off.
I'm going to play it. To hell with both of you.
Don't give up the fight.
You racist.
Heaven is on the earth.
This Rastafari radio. Big J be back really tomorrow work. Night, man, with more it's music. Hey, Terry, bring me another grape soda. Yeah, man.
Now you see the light.
You still got me on the air?
I'm sorry.
Get me off the air, damn it.
Stand up for your right. Get up.
Rastafarian Radio there with our Terry McCoy. Well, I hope Big J gets out of the hospital. I hope they pull his brain out of his neck. His brain sunk from the heavy rosin of the cannon. Well, you heard the story. Rastafarian Radio there with Terry McCoy sitting in for Big J, and we had a special visit from Ron, the program director, and Pastor Rennick, riding that kid pretty hard. 1-800-449-8686. I want to tell you about our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We're undergoing a rather rigorous reconstruction of our website. But in the meantime, while we're doing that, we've still got our souvenir store. It's wide open. And the other thing you would like to do is, if you know, you have the bread, $6.95 a month, which isn't a lot, get a backstage pass, which gets you all the audio that you want from all of the shows that we've done. It gives you a 30-day archive. You can go back 30 days and listen to full shows. We have an audio archive that's got all the phone calls that you dig and also all of the bits. And we're also in our souvenir shop selling our Best Of CD for 2003, The Death of Talk Radio, and that is available for the price of $20 a CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And in the souvenir shop is other stuff like our Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. We got a new one coming out because the new Teds of Beverly Hills is opening in Miami Beach. We also have the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt for his Honolulu restaurant. How do you like Ted? Beverly Hills, Honolulu in Miami Beach. Now, that's a guy that's, huh? the North Pole. I forgot at Christmas time we had the North Pole shirt. In any event, it's all there on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. For those of you who are asking about our new CD, it's coming out. It's going to be called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, and it'll have a full CD of our phone calls and a full CD of our skits. What are we calling them, Chris? Our skits?
There are skits and our calls.
Skits and calls, man. So if you dig the Art Bell stuff, we'll have the full CD of that kind of stuff. And if you like the phone calls, we'll have a full CD of that stuff. So it'll be a double CD set. And we're also going to print up an extra 1,000 to send over to our men and women in Iraq. In fact, that's something I want to say to Neil when he's doing the artwork. I want to have on the CD, on the cover, dedicated. I don't know what the wording's going to be, but I want to dedicate it to the United States military in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I want to make it very, very clear in case there's any confusion whatsoever where we stand. Dedicated to the greatest Americans that I know about these days, the men and women in Iraq and Afghanistan of the U.S. military. Let me just underline that part. There you go. And so we'll send those guys some CDs, and, you know, they get a smile on their face for a change instead of all of the hard time they're getting from everybody. 1-800-449-8686. Comb Over Boy coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Comb Over Boy is coming up in a few minutes on The Phil Hendry Show. He'll be asking his listeners about strippers and, you know, the latest stripper he ordered in his hotel room or some bullcrap. I don't know. Whatever he does in his show. We'll have him. You know Comb Over Boy. You know who he is, don't you? The guy who, quote, was attacked in Seattle, end quote. Too bad you didn't get more ink on that one, Comb. Comb. Man, you know what movie I saw the other night on TV? Apocalypse Now. Man, does that movie suck. Oh, my God. Woohoo! Why do you guys keep showing that turd? You know, I saw a documentary. It was called Apocalypse Now, a documentary, I guess. It was made by Francis Ford Coppola's wife, and he was depressed while he was making it because he felt he was making a piece of walking excrement, right? And she kept saying, well, you know, it's going to be... No, I'm... Guess what, Francis? With the perspective or the perspective, I should say, of 24 years, you're right. You made a turd. What do you get out of here with this?
All I want to do is get back in the jungle. How many did I kill with my bare hands? Some so close they were breathing on me.
And the guy's drunk in his hotel room, and they say, we got a dead one. And then he goes into the thing, and the guy is standing there feeding him shrimp, and like we were just having a big rip-roaring time over in Vietnam. Look, I thought Vietnam was a lousy war. We shouldn't have gotten involved in it, but can we get over the baby killer aspect of it, please? And while the generals were, yes, probably, totally wrong with the way they executed that war, and the politicians butchered it to pieces, can we stop impugning the soldiers so much? Soldiers went over there and did everything they were told to do. Every fight they were in, they won. Every battle they were in, they kicked ass. And, you know, it was a stupid war. It was a civil war. But that movie is the worst turd. And then guess what they did? They brought out the whole thing uncut, as if, thought just 2.5 hours was excrement? Wait till you see the diarrhea we've got waiting for you now with the full uncut version of Apocalypse Now. What do they call it? Redo or Redux? They had to call it Apocalypse Now Doo-Doo. Or Apocalypse Now Duck Crap, or whatever they...
Funny, Apocalypse Now Duck Crap.
Shut up, bud. And they got all these idiotic scenes about the guys having sex with Playboy bunnies in a helicopter, and the guys are going up the river and they visit the French plantation, and this entire film is a fantasy out of the hallucinate, out of the psychotropically ridden mind of Francis Ford Coppola.
What about they call it Apocalypse Now, Duckville?
Shut up. And Martin Scorsese, good actor. And what is up with Marlon Brando?
We have to incinerate them cow after cow, pig after pig.
With the bald head and the patting it down. And there's all these cats up, you know, with the machetes and they're hanging from trees. And, you know, we'd like, in our wild imagination, we would like the world to be sometimes the horror that we dream, right? You know, I was reading this thing about... Back in the days when there were no photographs, and there was no real history other than what a man wrote, we often exaggerated. For instance, we would think of, some guy said the guy was a giant. He was a giant. You know, he must have been 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, right? When in point of fact, the guy was probably like 6'3". You know, Goliath, when we were little kids, they said, yes, David slew Goliath. Well, what was Goliath? He was a giant. And I remember as a kid thinking, God, the guy must have been, what, like 3 stories tall? The dude was probably about 6'5 or something. And Goliath was a kid. He was a little, you know, kid. So we do the same thing with contemporary history. We make it bigger and we make it more extreme. First of all, it reinforces our prejudice. It reinforces the prejudgment we've already set for ourselves that this is how it was. And if Vietnam was a bad war, it wasn't just a bad war. There was extreme violence. There was, I mean, Apocalypse Now with the machetes and the cutting the cow's head off and the Highlanders with the spears and that whole jackass movie, right? Forget it. It was just a bunch of guys fighting a war and actually fought it very well. And yes, there were atrocities. Most of the men did very, you know, most of the men involved in that war conducted themselves like civilized human beings. Yeah, there were people who were going over the line. They did it in World War II. Every soldier. Let me just tell you guys something in case you, you know, are not informed. If you talk about Americans committing atrocities, you ought to read the history of warfare when it comes to other countries. You'd vomit for weeks. You know, the Russians, when they came into Germany, what do you think they did? They raped every woman they found. Every woman. Every female. Every female over the age of 10 was raped by a Russian soldier. Didn't matter, and the officers couldn't stop it. The officers didn't want to stop it, in some cases. And the commissar said, well, comrade, they're entitled because of what that pig Hitler did. You know, they figured because they had been invaded by the Germans and were subject to these atrocities, they'd get them back. You think Americans, you know what we did to American soldiers in World War II who were guilty of rape? We executed them. There were 40 executions of American soldiers in World War II who had committed the crime of rape. You want to know why? Because we're civilized people. I know we indulge in the fantasy that we're somehow wicked. Because how could we have all of this good world, you know, this great life if we weren't wicked, right? So we got to feel guilty, man. But fact of the matter is, we just ain't that bad. It's bad, but we don't have to create some Dante's Inferno. Well, you know, Phil, you missed the whole point of Apocalypse Now. It's symbolic. Oh, groovy. You mean the actual guy dying isn't, you know, it's not... It's not, it doesn't have enough impact. I got to have your symbolism, too, with the Playboy bunnies and the stupid ride up the river. That movie is just, with time, has become a joke. I watch this thing and I'm laughing, especially Scorsese with all of that.
Yeah, we took the boat up the river and I could feel myself closer to him, Kurtz.
And how about those guys in the Foxhill who are so freaking stoned that, where are they? They're in that foxhole and the guy is, man, go get the roach! And that dude has been smoking spliffs since last Monday. Guy's got some kind of an RPG and hits these Viet Cong that are screaming in the jungle dead on, even though the cat has taken 2 hits of mescaline since dinner.
Who's in charge here, soldier?
Ain't you? It's like every chance they get, they want to make American soldiers look like incompetent, befuddled idiots, right? I mean... Don't you think those kids deserve better? They make them look like they're incompetent, they're confused, They haven't got a prayer in hell. They don't know what they're doing. They got their heads up their asses. They're not well-trained. They don't have good equipment. Every time I listen to Senator Kerry, he keeps talking about how the troops don't have equipment. That guy voted against equipping them. I mean, what kind of mental case is this cat that's running for president? Even this guy, Fat-Ass Moore, said today, man, this guy Kerry is really strictly from hunger, baby, as a candidate, but I guess this is all we got. Yeah, well, guess what, baby? If the American people vote for John Kerry, honest to God, if we put that guy in office, we're dumber than we look. No kidding. Now, we deserve everything we get from the guy. Anyway, you know, we look at these soldiers that are over there doing a fantastic job, And the situation on the ground in Iraq is absolutely atrocious. Well, the situation on the ground in Iraq is fluid. The situation on the ground in Iraq is that it's improved over Saddam freaking Hussein, unless, of course, you prefer to have that guy in power. Well, at least he wasn't bothering us. All right, okay. Not now he wouldn't. Hey, look, the time was... You know what? I think that what they did was so right, it can never be wrong. I think the time was so right to take that guy out. Man, we were overdue. You think we shouldn't have gone into Iraq? I think we should have gone into Iraq 10 years ago. I think we should have stayed there. That guy, his number came up the first time he told the United Nations to get out. He should have been greased then and there. The fact that we're there now is fantastic. The soldiers need our support, and they're getting damn little of it, except from the president. And I hope that they stay there as long as it takes to kill every last one of them. Every last one of those scumbags that visited that hell on our people in New York and in Washington. Every last one of those scumbags that held the Iraqi people down. And every terrorist anywhere that thinks he's going to do the same thing. They're over there in Iraq right now. Dig this. This was great. This is the foreign advisor or whatever the hell. This is some new advisor that Senator Kerry's got. She goes, Senator Kerry believes in fighting terrorism no matter where it is around the world. And the cat from the news says, okay, even in Iraq? That's not the argument. What? The hell are you talking about? So it's like, let's throw every argument out there, man. He believes in fighting terror everywhere in the world and go after the terrorists wherever they are. Okay, so we're like fighting them now in Iraq. Al-Qaeda's right there. Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, we should leave and then go back. I don't know what the hell she was talking about. But she was doing it really forcefully. So I guess somebody said, we need to get the message out there more forcefully. So she was saying the same Nudnik stuff, only louder. He didn't vote for force, but he would vote for force, and he didn't. I'm just doing it louder in case, so you can know we're fighting back. Is there anybody in the world that really believes that cat has a plan? No. Is there anybody in the world that believes the guy can get elected president? Yeah, the people that hate George Bush. They'll put that incompetent dude in there just because they don't dig Bush. They'll put that clown in. Honest to God, that's it's going to be great. They'll put that guy in just because they don't like Bush. In other words, here's the plan. Let's take just any jackass who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground and couldn't find it with both hands on a hot, sunny day, and let's make him president because Bush sucks that much. No. No, man. It ain't going to happen. Not in a million years. I hope those guys in Iraq, the Marines, the Army, everyone, continues to kill every last one of those freaking terrorists until there ain't a one of them left, until there ain't a one of them wants to stick his head out of a hole. I hope they grease every last one of them. I hope they're over there. I hope they go into freaking Afghanistan. I hope they go into Pakistan. I'm all in favor of expanding the war on terror into Pakistan with armed forces and nuclear weapons, as well as big, I'm joking. But I ain't kidding you. Fewer soldiers? Put more soldiers in there. Here's what they got to do, because the guy called the other, he says, well, aren't you afraid of a civil war? Like I said to the guy, historically, every regime change in any country, a civil war does follow. Well, that's what's happening right now, hello. Okay, now here's what's going to happen. The United States, as far as I'm concerned, should establish a military base in the north of Iraq, get things as stable as possible, then we withdraw into that military base, and now we're the eyes and ears of Uncle Sam are up there in northern Iraq, and they can't get out of hand. Anybody wants to screw around, they're going to get, they're going to get their rear end handed to them for freaking lunch, man. That's all there is to it. Okay, so here's the thing. You guys want to do whatever you want to do and have any toilet country you want to have, that's fine. The minute you start exporting terrorists or training them, like Saddam Hussein was doing, well, there's no evidence to that effect. Yeah, there is. There's plenty of evidence. I think these people say there's no evidence. It's all over the place. Two administrations, Bush and Clinton, got the evidence. Anyway, The minute they want to start training terrorists again or anything in that part of the world resembles terrorism that is directed at our country or our allies, we're there. We got a military base right there, and we can just go ahead and start sending in the Marines one more time. And they can make that a battleground for the next 1,000 years. I could care less. Because I know one thing, the troops that are there want to be there. The troops that are there want to do the job. The troops that are there want support from us, and they ain't playing that whole, I support the troops but not their mission. Ed ain't playing with those guys, okay? And the guys that are over there need not only our moral support, they need material support as well. And I say give it to them so they can continue to cut heads off the way they're doing it to us. Thank you and good evening. I'm Big J. Phil Hendry's Bullcrap Minute, brought to you by Frosted Flakes. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show with Comb Over.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This is the Comb Over Boys Show. The new kind of talk show. Not hosted by a right-wing wacko or convicted felon. No! I am your host. We talk about the issues you really care about. You can call right now, 1-800-I-SUCK. That's 1-800-I-SUCK. We'll talk about it. No. Is this Led Zeppelin? That's right, it's Led Zeppelin, isn't it? This is the Comb Over Boys Show. And a very, very pleasant good afternoon to you. I was wondering if this ever happens to you. Does this ever happen to you? I called up and ordered a stripper for my hotel room when I visited Seattle last time. It was right after I paid the guy to kick me in. It's right after I got kicked in the head by someone I didn't know. And, anyway, a lot of people ask me, why is there so much dead air? I sit here and I talk, and then I leave long spaces and pauses. I will tell you why. It's because if you don't really have a lot to say, you give it a little bit of a pregnant pause and it sounds like you do. Plus, it kills some good time. All right. Now, anyway, I called up a company that I use in the Seattle area and ordered my usual stripper to come up to the hotel room and entertain me. Because you know, you know how it is, huh? You guys know how it is? You guys know how it is. You know, you're on the road, you're by yourself. Who cares? You know, your wife is not there. See, it doesn't make any... If your wife doesn't know about it, then it's okay. This is part of Comb Over Boy 101. How to bring venereal disease home to your wife. Now, anyway, as I was saying, the stripper arrives, and has this ever happened to you? She comes in the door, and you're all set to get down to it. And I think you know what I'm talking about. And I realized that she doesn't have enough facial hair, and I had said to them, I want someone who looks like a guy. So I call the strip company up, or the strip escort service, what have you. And they say, well, we're sorry, Mr. Comover, but we just didn't have any more guys left. You're going to have sex with a woman. Now, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about all the things. You know, all you want to do is have sex with a dude. And I know a lot of you guys feel the same way. And all you guys know about it because this program is for guys. And guys know what I'm talking about. Especially guys that have been in jail. Like I have. I'm going to get your comments on this here. 1-800-I-BLOW, 1-800-I-BLOW. And this is RC. RC, hello.
Yeah, Comb Over, how you doing? Do you care?
Wow, that's fresh. Anyway, I ordered a stripper for me and my buddies, and when she came to the door, she had lots of facial hair, too. So I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Does that drive you what? I mean, just out of your mind, right?
Yeah, you know who it was?
Who?
Your mama.
All right, that's all the time we have here on the Comb Over Boys Show. As you know, we talk about the issues you really care about. And then we also talk about some of the issues I care about, like why Phil Henry gets all these TV deals and I don't.
The Comb Over Boys Show is presented by Phil Henry, who's better.